Awesome. So it's a brand new year, right? So excited. Everybody, when they start a brand new year, they always try and kick it off with a bunch of New Year's resolutions. Things are going to do differently, right? This year instead of last year. How many of you have written some New Year's resolutions for this year, for 2017? One guy. Okay, we got a couple other people. All right, I saw this post from a friend of mine. It says, I was so excited to go to the gym. I thought, man, it's going to be so great to work out. And then I remembered, it's January, and everybody's there for at least 3 weeks, you know? So my goal is to lose 30 pounds this year. I've only got 47 to go, so I am excited about what God's going to do. No. So this morning, I want to talk about, you know, we have all these different apps and applications on our phone, and they can teach us and help us do so many different things. But the problem is, even if you have an application on your phone, it doesn't mean that you'll actually do what the thing is meant to be used for, right? An application is everything, right? You can have a calorie counter or a way to get up in the morning or manage your time or use your different apps to get tasks done. But if you don't ever enter them or you don't ever use it, if you don't ever do the application, then it doesn't actually help. And so what life app can I share with you this morning? Because application is everything. What proverb? This is actually a proverb that challenges us to live a sacrificial, missional life that's focused on others rather than ourselves. You know that? A proverb written by Solomon hundreds of years before Jesus ever even came to earth. It's Proverbs 11:30, and it says this, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." Isn't that incredible? Look at that. Wow. The fruit, the behavior, the works, the reward of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. We've been taught to seek and apply wisdom to our lives. And scripture shows us, even here in Proverbs, that the person who wins souls is wise. It's wise to win souls. So like Pastor is telling you, my name is Joshua Ernst. Here's a picture of my fantastic family. If I can get this to go forward. Maybe not. There for a second. You got it? There we go. Okay, so this is my wife, Heather, and our four kids. And like Pastor was saying, we are U.S. missionaries, missionaries with the Assemblies of God to the United States, with Chi Alpha, which is our Assemblies of God U.S. missions arm that reaches out to university students on secular campuses. We've been loving and serving on college students for the last 15 years, eight of which were in UW Oshkosh. And we saw God move in some outstanding, powerful ways. Over 125 students baptized in water right in the university pool. Over 130 students baptized in the Holy Spirit. Exciting to see what God will do in their lives. Really incredible. And so God has asked us through the district to step into this new role of moving from adding to the kingdom of God on one campus to multiplying for the kingdom of God on many different campuses. And so we left one of our alumni in charge. She's a credentialed minister now with the Assemblies of God, was saved in our campus ministry, discipled, baptized, filled with the Spirit, went on to do an internship and got her credentials as a Assemblies of God pastor, and now she is the new director at UW Oshkosh. We're so excited for Rachel and what she's going to be doing in this next generation at UWO. But so we started with two campuses. We have UW Oshkosh and UW Eau Claire has a small beginning Chi Alpha. And they said, we got to do something about this. We have 26 UW schools. And so can you help us get some stuff started? I said, well, I don't know. I hope so. I could try. And so this year we launched two more campuses, a new Chi Alpha at UW Madison and another Chi Alpha at Northern Michigan University. We've been praying for that school for a long time because nobody wants to go to Northern Michigan. It's so cold and frozen with so much snow. And but the people who went there, believe it or not, were former missionaries of Turkey, alumni of that campus, and felt a call back to Northern Michigan, fully funded, ready to go, and killing it. Our Madison Chi Alpha is exploding. They've only been on campus a semester. They ran 50-plus students on their very first night on campus at UW-Madison. That's more students than we've had in a gathering on that campus in over 12 years. And so Levi and Morgan Koistra are doing an incredible job, and they're continuing to grow and expand on that campus. We have four more campuses that we're planning to launch next fall. So we're going to be launching at UW-Superior. We're going to be launching at UW-Milwaukee. We're going to be launching at Lawrence University and UW-Green Bay in the fall. And so I'm coming here today to awaken a passion for you, for the students that are a block away on your campus. God wants to do remarkable things. Speaking of students, where are my college students in the room. Where are my people? Are there anybody here? Come on, raise your hand high. We got a few. Yes. Thank you, guys. I'm so glad that you're here. Give me a hand, will you, please? I'm excited for you guys. And the reason why is because you're here on a Sunday before school starts. You're not moving in on Sunday night. You're not missing church or skipping out. You're here, and you're here to celebrate with the church family. And we are thrilled that you're a part of this congregation. You don't know this, but you are an exception to the rule. The truth of the matter is, why do we need Chi Alpha? Why do we need campus ministries like InterVarsity or Navigators or Crew on our college campuses? The fact of the matter is, friends, statistically speaking, 77% of our youth group attending teenagers, when they graduate from high school, will stop going to church and never return. Nearly 8 out of every 10 of our church kids, when they go off to college, will stop going to church. It becomes irrelevant to them. That's why you are so valuable to me. Now, in the assemblies, we happen to be doing a little bit better than that. We're at 66%. 2 out of every 3 of our youth group, our children, when they leave our church doors and graduate and go off to college, will stop going to church. Like, wow, what? Why is it happening? Well, the truth of the matter is, you can't get a college kid to do anything. And that's why these guys are so exceptional. Let me just brag on you a little bit. Because the truth of the matter is you can't. Once a college kid leaves your doors and he goes out into the world, that student doesn't need to do, they don't have to go to church. They don't have to go to youth group. They're not made or forced to go anywhere. You can't get a college kid to do anything. You can't make him study. You can't make him go to bed at night. You can't make him stop playing Xbox. You can't make him get up in the morning. Forget about it. It's just, you know. And so what happens? Well, a student who's coming from a church, they probably haven't done any research on what is available for them on the campus as far as the campus ministry is concerned. And that would be an exceptional thing. Most of them have never even looked to see if there's a church there or a church that they want to get plugged into. Most freshmen are moving far away from home to a campus that they've never experienced, to a city that they don't know, with none of their friends and none of their family. And most of them don't have a car, okay? So they show up on their campus, they have no friends, no idea where to go to church, no car to get there, even if they wanted to. And so Saturday night, they're out having fun, they're playing, they're partying, they're doing whatever they want, they go to bed. So if a student is brave enough just to get up on Sunday morning before church starts, that's an amazing task in itself. But then, for a student to get up and get ready and go out the door and find a local church, and then find a way to get to that church. And the truth of the matter is, this church is an exceptional church. Because most churches don't have young adults. They've got great children's ministry and great youth group. And then they have this big gaping hole from 18 to 30 years old. And then they have 30-year-olds who have kids in the nursery, and then they start all over again. And so even if the student is brave enough to get up, to find a way, to do the research, to get here and come, most of the time, they don't find anybody there their own age. Nobody to connect with. And man, it is just so much easier to just sleep in. And 1 week turns to 3 weeks, turns to 5 weeks, turns to a semester, and then they're gone. And you take that and you combine it with incredible peer pressure and this overwhelming desire to belong. And professors and teachers, many of whom are not promoting a gospel agenda. Most promoting a very secular humanist perspective of life. And God isn't real. That Bible is a bunch of fairy tales. And students look at this professor and say, man, well, you got a whole lot more initials after your name than my parents do. Certainly more than my pastor does, so you must be right, you know? Forced to write programs, things that they don't want to write about. It takes its toll. And this happens. Why is Chi Alpha necessary? Why is any campus ministry necessary? 4 reasons. Chi Alpha is important because we are there to protect the investment that you've made in the lives of your young people. We are the people on the ground, on the field. You guys don't know this yet, but you are missionaries. You are sent ones to the most strategic mission field in the entire world. Not the most important. The most important mission field is the one that you're called to. But it is the most strategic, and let me tell you why. Because you have the opportunity to protect the investment that people and parents have made in the lives of their young people for 18 years. They've been teaching and training and loving and reaching and trying to pour and trying to teach the student to do what's right. And now they are out on their own. And we, together, on campus, have the opportunity to provide a community for them where they can find a place to belong, where they can come to believe in the God who loves them, where they can become spirit-filled witnesses that are going to transform the university, the marketplace, and the entire world. We have to protect the investment that students... It's ridiculous. There is no reason that that number should be that high. It should be zero. And my job, my hope, is to bring that statistic to zero. I want to build a bridge between our youth ministries and our Chi Alpha groups, our campus ministries on our university campuses. There should be a better handoff. We need to be in the lives of our parents. Too many people don't even know what Chi Alpha is and never even heard about it before. We've been around since 1953, folks. I got kids going to Evangel, going to North Central Trinity, like, what? Chi Alpha? What is that? I ain't even heard of this thing. We're losing them in droves. The second reason why Chi Alpha is so important is because we have the opportunity to reach the lost, to live missionally on a campus where there are so many people who've never even heard about Jesus. This is a Christian nation. Did you know America is the third largest unreached nation in the world? Like, we're sending missionaries to every country in the world. And the truth of the matter is only India and China have more unsafe people than America. We are a mission field. And there are students on your campus who have never, ever heard the story, the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, that he came and lived for you and died for you so he could rescue you and reconcile you to the Father. The third reason why Chi Alpha is so important is because the future is on the campus. I don't know if you understand this, but the next generation of everything is on the university campus right next door. This is the next generation of teachers, of lawyers, of doctors, of artists, of engineers, of everything. If you don't like the way that you see things in the world right now, you need to reach the university. If you don't like the films that are coming out in the theaters, you need to reach the university. If you don't like the judges or the system that we have right now, you need to reach the university. Because these students will change the world. I mean, give you an example. So you know about this guy, maybe you've heard of this guy, his name is Mark Zuckerberg. He created a little thing called Facebook, 24 years old in his dorm room at Harvard. He's worth over $35 billion now. Did you know if Facebook was a country, it would now be the largest country in the world? One kid. Imagine if we'd reach that guy with the gospel of Jesus. These people would be influencers. Let me give you some statistics about your own campus. Right here, UW Falls. UW River Falls. Check this out. Did you know there was a guy named Brad Hewitt, who is an alumni of your university, who is now currently the president and CEO of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans? He was a part of a campus ministry at UW River Falls. This man leads Thrivent Financial. It's incredible. Brett Longen is now a senior editor for ESPN Online Sports, graduate of UW River Falls. Dan Brandenstein is a retired astronaut who's been in space four times, graduate of UW River Falls. Michelle Donovan, director of people development at Google, graduate of UW River Falls. Sig Hansen, international trade and development consultant and contractor in Ethiopia who was involved in a campus ministry right here at UW River Falls. These people will change the world. And if we will reach them with the gospel of Jesus, they will transform the marketplace. The last reason why Chi Alpha is so important is because of international students. Guys, 2 weeks ago, I was in Houston, Texas for the World Mission Summit. You probably didn't even know what happened. The World Mission Summit 4, fourth one. Every 4 years, Chi Alpha Campus Ministries partners with Assemblies of God World Ministries, and they converge in one location. 2 weeks ago, on January 4th, over 6,000 Chi Alpha students from around the nation gathered in Houston, Texas, and they brought home over 400 world missionaries from the field in one place. And these students were challenged to give a year of their life to missions when they graduate from college and pray about a lifetime. And after they heard renowned speakers, Joe Gordon, missionary to India, and all these other guys get up and share these stories, They were challenged at every meal they had with a missionary, every meal they sat in the same place and there was a different missionary that came in and sat at their table and said, this is what we're doing. You can be a part of this. We need you to come. We need you to be a part of this. What gifts has God given you? And here's the incredible thing, you guys. We can't send missionaries to so many of our countries with a Bible degree out of North Central or Trinity Bible College. It just doesn't work. But a student who's got an engineering degree, a student who's got an architecture degree, a student who's got a business degree, a student who is a nurse, a student who is a teacher, I can send that kid to any country in the world. And they can go in and they have access to that country and they can be a blessing to that missionary and to that ministry in ways that you can't even fathom. Guys, the Mormons are giving 2 years after college to missions and we're just giving excuses. And so our challenge to our Chi Alpha students is give a year. Give 1 year of your life to missions after college. Use your degree overseas and change the world. And pray whether or not God wants to use you there for a lifetime. And just 2 weeks ago, on a single night, with over 6,000 Chi Alpha students in one room, over 1,800 students committed to give a year of their life to missions when they graduate. I'm telling you, it's the raising up of a whole new generation of missionaries in a single moment. And this is the fourth time we've done this. Chi Alpha is sending more missionaries to the field than any other church, ministry, Bible college, or anything in the United States. But the neat thing about international students is as much as these students want to go and want to give and want to pray, and they should, do you realize that we don't have to cross the sea to reach students for Jesus? There are over 1 million international students on our college campuses right now from every nation in the world, countries you can't even go to if you wanted to. And that's the thing. You got a missionary who comes in here, they're raising support, they're going to go wherever. Fantastic. All the more power to them. But it's going to take them at least a year and a half to raise their budget. Once they get their budget raised, they're going to have to spend the first 3 years of their life overseas learning the language and learning the culture of the place where they're going. And then once they get there, they're going to have to blend in, build a business, and try to find a way to reach people in that country. All the while, I have hundreds of students from dozens of countries a few miles from my own front door, and they speak English. And they've come to America to learn about who we are and what we believe and why. And I have every right in the world to tell them about Jesus without any fear of any repercussion whatsoever. See, they think they're here to get a degree, but I think they're here to become a disciple. Because it is missions in reverse, man. If we, like, look, if we could just love international students, even if they don't get saved, even if they just don't hate Christians, that would be a good step from where we are in the world right now. I mean, these students are going to... Did you know that over 40% of the world's political leaders, people who run their country, were educated in America? 25% of those world leaders are sending their kids to college in America. These students, some of them guys, are going to go home and rule their country. I have pictures in a different presentation of a girl, Agaila Haba Hamede. It's a girl from Western Sahara. And she is a refugee when Morocco annexed her country. And she actually came to me at UW Oshkosh and said, "Hey, I've been invited to the UN to speak to the nations of the world on the behalf of my people. But I need some help getting there. Can you help me?" Yes, I can. Because hundreds of people and churches support me every month and they believe in you and what God's going to do in your life. And this woman is a Christian. Many people believe she could be the first president of her country. She went to school at UW Oshkosh. You don't know, guys. My brother Joseph from Ghana, man, or from Uganda, I'm so glad you're here. My friend Ranga from Zimbabwe, and friends from Kenya, Savola Wale, who leads the International Student Ministry of Chi Alpha from Springfield, Missouri. Just an international student just like yourself, man, who got so rocked by Jesus. He said, "I want to motivate," and he's leading our Discover the Nations group. And I mean, we're just, guys, did you know that you have over 150 international students a block away? From over 20 countries. Students from China, from India, from Japan, the most atheistic, irreligious countries in the world. And they're right here. They're right there. And we can reach them. We can love them. We can invite them. We can have them over to our house for meals. We can show them the good news of Jesus. This is why Chi Alpha reaches you guys. College students have the opportunity to be his sent ones, to be his ambassadors, as representers of the gospel message in the most strategic mission field. You know, only you can go there. None of the rest of these people can go on that campus. Only you can go there because it's your students, man. And we're all about trying to empower you to get that done. How do we do that? Well, that's what I want to talk about. In Chi Alpha, we desire to be a spirit-filled community. Is this still on? There we go. Good. Spirit-filled community of Christ followers, just like the early church. What did that look like? Well, we find a description in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in their temple court, in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Man, that is good news. This passage actually highlights what life inside Chi Alpha is supposed to be like. See, Chi Alpha has a fivefold mission or purpose as to why we exist on campus. And these five things we try to do on a regular basis. They include discipleship, fellowship, worship, prayer, and mission. And that scripture passage focuses on all five of those things. We read here that all the believers were together and they had everything in common. There is a great need today, guys, for relationships. The need for unity. A place of refuge. A place where we know these people, these are my friends. They love me and they're not going to stab me in the back or treat me like the rest of the world does. And they're going to speak the truth to me in love and so forth. We need that. And when the world is turning more and more against those who follow Jesus, you need a place where you feel I have family and I'm not getting beat up all the time. And this is what the church is supposed to look like, and that's what our students experience in Chi Alpha, a place, a community, a place for them to belong right on the university campus. It meets there, they hang out together there, they get plugged into a local church, and they do these things together. Next we read, it says, selling their possessions and their goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. This is talking about the idea of God's family showing concern for one another, and that when someone is in need, that we actually give, whether it be money or possessions or time or whatever, that we give to help meet that need. And it's beautiful, guys. It's beautiful to watch students who give sacrificially to help those in need around them. You know, at UW Oshkosh, when I was a Chi Alpha pastor there, we were meeting in the summer at my house. And so everybody was gone for the school year. We probably were just running like a skeleton crew. We had like 40 that were meeting at my house. And the rest of them were all out, you know, back home. And there was an international student from Uganda, actually. His name was Jeremy. And Jeremy called me and he says, hey, I got your name from a local church. They said you might be able to help me out. I said, okay, what's going on? He said, so I'm an international student, and I have 1 year left of college, and I have a scholarship that's going to help me finish my degree. But the problem is I haven't been able to get work because I'm not an American, and it's been very difficult to find a way to pay for my schooling. And so I have to pay off my bill from this semester, or they won't let me come back for next year. I said, okay. I said, well, what do you need? He says, I need $1,200. And so I called the school. I said, well, let me check on this. I called the school. I asked. And they said, yeah, this is a story. This is real. This is what's at. And so Jeremy came and he showed up at our Chi Alpha house at my house one night. And nobody knew who he was. But everybody greeted him and got to know him, whatever. And I was telling the students, I said, hey, we have a friend who contacted me. He's an international student and he wants to come and stay, but he's got to pay this bill. After sharing the need with these students, I said, are you able, would you be willing, if you were overseas, if you were stuck, if you were going to college in another country and you needed this, what would you want people to do for you? And man, those 40 broke college kids took an offering in my house, and they raised $2,500 in one night to give to this kid to help him finish his degree. That's the church. Like, that's what the church is supposed to do. And then they were really shocked when Jeremy stood up in the room that night and said, thank you for helping me stay. Students at Sam Houston State University, a girl had committed to give a year of her life to missions. And while she was overseas, three of her other friends from that university were there. And they had served a year as well, but they had felt like their time was done, God was done. They were going to go back, use their degree, and go into their career field. And this girl, they felt like she needed to stay, and she felt a call of God to stay. But she was like, I can't go. I can't stay here. I have to go home. I have these college debt bills I've got to pay, and I've got to take care of it. And these three guys from her Chi Alpha group said, would you stay if we paid your student loans? And these three guys paid off over $20,000 to help make sure this young woman could stay on the field to answer the call of God on her life. Third, every day they met together. There's a need to be together, even multiple times throughout the week, guys. And that's like Wednesday nights. Our students at UWO met together on Monday for their gathering. They had discipleship, small groups, core groups, prayer groups. They did evangelism together, parties, and lots of other fun activities. Every night of the week, they would hang out all the time together, eating together, blessing one another, blessing others, to give students a chance to really live life together. Next one, it says in another translation, they broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. There's a reference to communion and how they used to have church and house churches and worship together. There's something about being in each other's homes, being in each other's dorms room. You become really familiar with them, you become family, and this is how most of our students refer to Chi Alpha on Facebook. These guys are my family. The idea is that the body of Christ, we would pull together and really be brother and sister to each other, just as much as your natural family, that we would be that in the spirit, in the family of God. And the last one, and this is what we're doing this morning, that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It says, the Lord added daily. Why do you think this was happening? How was that happening? What were people doing? Why were people coming to the church daily, coming to faith daily? What do you think? You got any ideas? What do you see from there? Give me an answer. Fellowship, great. Others. Serving. Good. And? Love. Yeah. They're telling people about Jesus, you guys. They're showing it in the way they live. They're inviting people. They're helping people. Exactly everything we just went through. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that, right? I want to be a part of that. Don't you? Do you want to be a part of a church like that? I mean, that's what we want to do. That sounds fun. People loving each other, being concerned for each other, meeting together, sharing meals on a regular basis. I love the food part, you know. Let's get together and eat, right? I mean, we're really good at that. It's attractive to people. Not just those who know Jesus, but to those who don't know Jesus, because the love of Jesus is different than any other kind of love, isn't it? It's totally different than anything the world can give. It's so patient and generous and kind, the fruit of the Spirit, as we read in Proverbs, the fruit of the righteous is just so appealing, so that when we live it out, when we live out who God calls us to be, the lost are attracted to that. So what does it mean to be a missional community, to be a small group that lives on mission? Well, we're not supposed to be just a group of people, a community that sits around and, you know, kind of says, wow, isn't it great? I found my friends, the people who really care about me. No, we're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to be selfish and inward. Rather, we are to be outward focused. That we look to the people around us, to the rest of the world, to be a person that applies the mission of God to our life. A person is not just looking to have their own needs met, but we're looking out and trying to meet the needs of the people who don't know Jesus. That is the early church, friends. That's the early church. It was radical. It was on fire. It was alive. And it was constantly had new life added every single day. People were being added to their number. Don't you want to see that? I mean, I don't want to read about the early church. I want to live it. And I want to see that here in River Falls, you guys. I want to see that on your campus, in your community. Where it's not just us in this room, as incredible as this room is, but it's not just us going, yay, Jesus, but we're out there sharing it with others on the campus and in our workplaces, in our families, everywhere as we are going, that we are making disciples and that new people are being added to our number daily. 2 Corinthians 5:20 is a theme verse of Chi Alpha as a nation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Come back to him. He loves you. What's an ambassador? Do you know what an ambassador is? Representative. Good, right. So we have ambassadors for the United States all over the country, right? They're in all these different countries all over the world. But when I'm an ambassador and I'm in a foreign country, I'm not from that country, right? Like, my country is America, but I'm working in Peru as an ambassador, okay? I'm not from Peru. I'm just there representing the United States and their interests in Peru. And so if we are Christ's ambassadors, we have to be careful, because the thing is, if you're an ambassador for the United States and you're off in another country, if you're an ambassador for the United States in Iran, you've got to be careful, because what you do, what you say, how you act, you represent the United States of America. You are the image of what they are going to believe. And that's the same thing with Christ's ambassadors. We are his representatives, his representers to people. When people see us, they should see Jesus. The fruit of Christ's righteousness in us should be a tree of life. It should lead people to him, to eternal life. We are Christ's ambassadors. We're his sent ones to the university, guys, to our marketplaces, to the world, to reconcile people to him. And we are called to not just be a son or a daughter ourselves, but to be his ambassador, his representative that represents his message of reconciliation to those around us. So when you get saved, when you come to know Jesus, why doesn't he just transport you to heaven? I mean, wouldn't that just be easier? I mean, all the nonsense and all the things. I mean, when I give my life to Jesus and I surrender my life, why doesn't he just take me? Just take me to heaven. Like, why do I got to stay here? Why does he do that? Why doesn't he just take you? What do you think? Yeah. We're ambassadors. Good. Why else? Why doesn't he just take you? Why wouldn't it just be easier? It's a bigger mission. I love it. If he took you, there'd be nobody else to tell people about Jesus. You are his representative. You are meant to be Jesus with jeans on. You are meant to walk around and make Jesus famous. People say, well, you can't see Jesus anymore. Well, they should. They should see him in you. Is Jesus real? Did he exist? Is he alive? Did he come? Is he resurrected? They can see it in you. Absolutely. We've been chosen, guys, to stand in, to tell others about Jesus. He wants to partner with us to take his message to the whole world. He has a purpose for every person in this room. Each one of you has a sphere of influence that connects you to people and no one else can connect with like you can. And God wants to use you in your sphere of influence, whatever your work is, wherever your place is. My next door neighbor is one of the best representatives of Jesus I've ever seen. And he works at Oshkosh Truck on the line. And he talks about Jesus and represents the love of God to every person he meets. It's just so contagious. It's remarkable. I love Jim. He sees his place. This is my mission field where God has called me. What does being missional look like? We're going to wrap up with this. Matthew 5:13-16. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What's the main point of what Jesus is telling them? He's saying, exemplify him. Stand out. Go public. Don't hide, right? Don't be a closet Christian, a bucket-headed Christian. Let your light shine. That's God's message to students on this campus. It's a message for you, River Falls. But isn't it easier to hide? I mean, isn't it just easier to just fit in, blend in, go with the flow? I don't want to cause any opposition. I mean, it's much easier to do that, honestly, but that's not why we're here. We're here to be Christ's ambassadors, his representatives to people who will never darken the door of a church. International students have no idea. They would be so thrilled to probably come and see what a Christian church is like if somebody would just offer them an invitation to come. On our campus, in your workplaces, we have professors, you have coworkers, family members, some of them who are really, really, really not saved, right? People who would never, ever go to church. Some of them from your countries where it's illegal to pass out a Bible or a tract, and yet God sends them here to UW River Falls of all places. It's incredible. God has us here to be salt and light and to share the good news of Jesus with those who've not yet heard. We are Christ's ambassadors, and so are you, to your world, to your workplace, to your sphere of influence. How are they going to hear if they never go to a church? These are people you know and I know, students, professors, coworkers who will never come, no matter how cool and flashy and wonderful our flyers are, our church. So what do? We go to them. That's what it means to be a missional person. I go to them. I'm going to find three people this week that I can bless, that I can add strength to their arm, whether it's a note of encouragement or an act of kindness or a gift. I'm going to find three people this week that I can bless. One from the church, one from not the church, and the other one, I don't care, either one. I'll double up on one or the other. I'm going to find three people this week that I can eat with. Yeah, I'm just going to go and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to just eat with somebody. Somebody from my church, which might be harder. You guys hang out much? You should eat together. Seriously, get a meal together. Another person from not my church I'm going to eat with, and I'm going to sit down across from this person and I'm going to talk to them and find out about them, and we're going to share life and we're going to encourage and engage each other. I'm going to listen. I'm going to learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to spend at least one significant period of time every week where I sit down and I listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit so that I learn His voice, so that when I'm out there and I'm in the middle of a difficult or tense situation, I can know what I need to do in this situation. I'm going to learn about Christ. I'm going to spend a little bit of time, at least one period of time every week, where I am learning Jesus, who He is, what He does, why He did it, where and how and why. I'm going to study the Gospels. I'm going to study the Scriptures. I'm going to learn Jesus. Because if I have to represent Him, I need to know what He is like, what He would say, what He would do, how He would act. I'm going to study Jesus at least one significant period of time this week. And I'm going to be sent. I'm going to journal about every way this week that I had the opportunity to let people know about the rule and reign of Jesus, about reconciliation. I'm going to be a person that reconciles people. What does that mean? I'm going to make His reconciliation known. How do I do that? I am a reconciler. That means when there are warring colleagues at my business, I work to bring reconciliation in that situation. Maybe it's just your own children. No. We're going to reconcile because God reconciles, and that's what we do. I'm going to talk about justice because justice is what God is for. And I'm going to see reconciliation between Jews and Gentiles, between black and white and Asian and Hispanic. I am going to live as a person who reconciles others and builds reconciliation around everywhere I go. I'm going to bring justice. There are so many causes that you could be a part of to bring justice to the world, to make the rule and reign of God known. People like Spurgeon and Martin Luther King, who we just celebrated last week, and Mother Teresa, and all these people all over the world who were against, who did labor reform and prison reform and abolished slavery. And man, there's 1,000 different things you can be a part of to help bring the message of justice to the world. End human trafficking. You can be a part of so many different things to help do these things. Here's the thing. Go in on mission as a witness, as an ambassador. Careful to ask God, how do you want to use me in this context, God? Who are the people that you're calling me to? We obviously can't go to everyone, but who are the people your Spirit is working on that you want me to come alongside of with you and just be your representative to them? Students, their friends, their students in your classrooms that you've already met or that you're about to meet tomorrow. And God is asking you, there are people that the Spirit is moving on, and if you will just open up and have a conversation, you could save their lives. And what do? You just hang out with them. Like I said, you go eat lunch with them, you get to know them, you laugh, you enjoy yourself, enjoy your coworkers. Eventually can come to a place where you enjoy each other's company so much that you want to start to do it in the evening as a group, your own little missional community. You build relationship with them and just be yourself, and guess what? You're going to find out over time, they're going to find out that you're different, and they're going to invite you to come and hang out, and that's okay. You're going to have a great time. You're going to share the gospel, the good news, and pray with people for salvation and for baptism and for the Holy Spirit, for healing in their bodies. It's such an adventure, you guys. So fun. God wants us to do that, not just through me, but through all of us, not just to go to class and make the grades, but for a far greater purpose. And He wants to do the same thing through you in your workplaces. Your true purpose is not to make a paycheck. Your true purpose is to impact people for eternity. That's why you're here. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. How many friends, family members, co-workers could stand before God, brought to salvation because he brought you into their life and you were bold enough to love and build a relationship and share the truth of Jesus with them? Go public. Don't hide. Don't be ashamed of them. My goodness, we have the best news in the world, don't we? But we need to be salt and light. Last verse. Check this out. Colossians 4, 5 and 6. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Do you guys know what salt does? Do you know what salt is for? What are some of the purposes of salt? What's that?
It makes you thirsty.
That's right. What else does salt do? It seasons. Very good. It adds flavor to stuff, right? It preserves. You put stuff in salt, at least the old colonists used to keep meat preserved over time. What else does it do? It heals, too. Did you know that? You can use salt to bring healing to wounds. So this salt, it heals, it preserves, it seasons, it brings flavor, makes people thirsty. Season, that your conversation is full of grace, season with salt. Like, oh, this is such a big deal. It's so hard to go and be a witness. It's so hard. I don't want to be awkward or weird. I'm not telling you to go out there and just blast them with four spiritual laws or Romans Road or, hey, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd go? What? I even know you, man. But if you let your life shine, you can bless people. You can season your conversation. Season it with a little bit of the gospel, a little bit of reconciliation, a little bit of this. What happens when you have too much salt in a situation, you know, where you just you put that on some of your food and you're just it's inedible, right? Like if you were to put this on a spoon and eat that, you'd be like, ah, yuck, what? That's what people do, right? Like with the gospel, you know? They're gonna go out and they're gonna do evangelism. Let's go out and do evangelism. And they come out there and they're like, do you know if you died today where you were gonna go? That is not helpful. This is not helpful to me. And people do this. They go out and they just try to lamb blast people and they just won't stop with let me tell you about Jesus and la la la. And they're just like, whoa. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to reach over to a friend in your class and say, hey, you want to go eat something together? Man, you look like you're struggling. Could I pray for you quick? I'm so sorry to hear that your family at work is going through divorce. Can I pray with you? Can I believe God for something for you? You're struggling in your finances. How could I bless you? How could I add strength to your arm? It's not hard. It's just a little bit at a time. But you have to know the gospel to be able to share the gospel when the opportunity is given. So learn Christ. Learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the power the Holy Spirit provides you to give you boldness to be his witness wherever you go. You understand? This is what I do, what I have done on university campuses, what I want to see God do right here at UW River Falls. This is a strategic campus, guys. Over 6,000 students, 20 different nations. I mean, the truth is, you've got a Chi Alpha group that could form right here. Like, you have students that come to this church. If we had a person, a missionary, who would be willing to come, I mean, this thing could grow, become a big fish in a small pond really quickly. And, I mean, working in complete unity with other campus ministries. I have a great love and respect for InterVarsity and Navigators, crew. These are not my competitors. Do you understand? We're all a part of the same army. We're platoon leaders of different platoons. And the truth is, if we could stop fishing in each other's ponds and just look at each other and say, hey, how about we stand shoulder to shoulder and just look out? Because I'm thrilled. How many students are at InterVarsity right now? Do you know? 100? 150? Out of 6,000. Need some help? Right? Like, how about we just stand shoulder to shoulder and look out at the other 5,850 who've not yet heard the gospel and go and reach them together? And some will love your flavor, and that's fabulous. And some will love ours, and that's great. But we're all going to keep the message the same, and that's Jesus. And that he reconciles people to himself. And so I don't want to wreck what they're doing, guys. I want to add strength to their arm. And so I ask you, please, pray for your university. Would you pray for me? I'm leaving from here to go to Trinity Bible College to try and recruit people to come and be missionaries on our campuses throughout Wisconsin, northern Michigan. I want them to come here. I want them to come to La Crosse, to Stout, to to Stevens Point, Whitewater. These are our campuses where we want to go next. And if you guys will believe with me, God can do radical things. I need to be honest because it's just how, it's how we live. You know, I'm a missionary, a U.S. missionary. I raise support. I've just completed the end of my second term as a U.S. missionary, so that's my eighth year. And I'm about to enter the next term as this district director for Chi Alpha. We have about $600 a month of support that we need to re-raise that just dropped off because of attrition. People change, things happen, and so we need to re-raise that. And so if the church would be willing to partner with us, to support us on a monthly basis, to help us continue to do our job, I'd be deeply grateful. Maybe God is calling one of you to say, man, I believe in that. I want to be a part of that. And maybe you want to partner with us individually. Whatever you want to do, I'd love to have a conversation with you about that afterwards if you want. I'd love to talk more about Chi Alpha, what it could look like here and where we're going as a district. But the truth is, I'm just flat out of time. I have about eight other things I'd love to show you, but I just can't get there today. There's just too much good news to share. But the truth is, you saw when Harvey Herman was here a few months ago, transgenerational discipleship. It happens. It happens on all of our campuses. One student leads another student, leads another student, leads another student, and it just explodes. And they become world changers. There's a couple, Nate and Abby Scouten, who are graduates of our campus ministry, took them on a mission trip to Greece in 2012. They graduated, got married. They dated for 4 years at our Oshkosh school, UW Oshkosh. They met on move-in day as Nate was moving Abby's stuff into her dorm, because as a Chi Alpha group, we help students move into the dorms to get to know them on welcome week. And as he's moving Abby in, they make a connection. He invites her, gives her a place to belong. They hang out. They become friends. They start dating. And Nate and Abby dated for 4 years at UW Oshkosh. And I had the pleasure of doing their wedding a couple years ago. And on their wedding day, after dating for 4 years, we all received a gift by being able to watch them kiss for the very first time ever in their relationship on their wedding day. And this has happened many times. On a UW slosh gosh, purity still happens. God can still do it. He's transforming lives. We've seen 25 couples meet and marry from our Chi Alpha group in the last 8 years. 10 babies already. I mean, we're talking new families, new legacies that will be forever different because we were there to minister. Those same opportunities, guys, are available right here. And we could do it together. I hope we can. Pastor, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.